was like, I need to eat something. So I'm pounding some pretzels up here. Anybody like me that just needs to eat like every hour? Anyone? I'm just happier. I don't know about you, but I go on road trips, which are like 20 minutes across town, and I have my bag of snacks, and I'm like, at every stoplight. It's great. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. My blood sugar is balanced.
Lord, we just love you so much. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful church family. We thank you for all the teachers, not only downstairs, but we also have educators, people that work in our school system, school nurses. Lord God, we just thank you so much for the incredible care that they give for the children, Lord God, not only in our church, but in our community. And Lord, we just thank you for refreshing wisdom, grace, Lord, for this season in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So this is my series on the prophetic, part three. Don't worry. It doesn't get weird. It gets powerful. It's awesome. So you can write that down. Prophetic, part three. And my title is Running into Divine Appointments. And if you want to know what my message is about, just now talk to like Kevin and Stuart, because it was like perfect. Thank you. Look, like perfect line of vision. Thank you for sharing testimony, because it just, you know, we obviously don't coordinate all the different like people, and it just all lines up. So this is what we're supposed to be doing today. How to make God encounters powerful and not weird. Just be yourself, right? Heather and I were talking, just be yourself. We're like loud, colorful people. You know, and like, you know, it's so cool. God uses introverts as well. So it's really funny. I've some of the most incredible preachers that I really respect, when they get in this vein, like you would never know that they're introverts. God will use you, period, period, period. All right, let's pray. You guys can open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Lord, I just thank you for your scripture, your word. And Jesus, you are the word made flesh. And I thank you, just lead us and guide us through your scripture. Holy Spirit, you're the Spirit of truth, Lord. And I just thank you. You just show us how to apply your scripture to our life. We thank you that you're infusing us with boldness and courage and grace to do what you have called us to do, which is to be your hands and your feet and your mouthpiece on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So have you ever been at a crossroads in your life and you're not sure which way to go? Come on. Like, I feel like it happens all the time, but you know, like that maybe you have a major decision to make. Maybe you're just like, nothing is going your way. You know, that song, everything's going my way. And you're like, that is not my song. Nothing is going my way. I'm just like, every direction I go, I just feel blocked. Nothing's working out. And you know, in a crossroads, you're often tempted to go back. Come on, right? You'll just go back to where you came from, you know? And sometimes you're like, well, I just need to move forward. This is the obvious way. It's right in front of me, right? But you know, sometimes Holy Spirit calls you into like the left field. You know, it's so funny. I've noticed that the Holy Spirit will often speak to me in a way. It's like over here, you know, the still small voice that sounds normally like your spouse or your mom, you know, just wisdom. And it's, he wants you to take a step over here. And it's normally for someone, for a divine appointment. It's something you're like, but I feel like I'm supposed to go here. But God's like, oh, right over here. I want to talk about these crossroad moments in your life. You know, sometimes you just, how do I say this? I feel like in crossroads in your life, you're questioning everything. Anybody been there? You're like, you're not really sure what way to go. And I'm questioning everything. And I'm looking back. How did I even get here? Did I mess things up that I'm even at this position? And in times like that, God often sends someone. This is so cool. Like, Kevin kind of mentioned this, like, you know, you just have that friend knocking at your door. You just get that phone call. You get that phone call from the person that they call you every week. And you've literally just been like, swipe, cause I'm not answering that call. Cause you know that they're going to encourage you. You know, they're going to call out the gold in your life. You know, they're going to give you a good kick in the knee to get you to get out of that like dark space, get out of your head and make a move. And you know, like I said, sometimes you're like, I'm telling you, sometimes God will have you step aside for a left field kind of encounter with someone else that puts you on this track that you never saw yourself in. And anybody had moments like that? Where someone just, and like I said, it could be a text, it could be a phone call. I had a story I was thinking of. I, believe it or not, this was not what I
how do you say this? Public speaking, like, is the number one fear besides fear of, like, death and, like, spiders. Like, this was not what I... This was, public speaking was hard. And I don't enjoy taking invitations to speak at other churches or other places. Why? Because I'm just trying to dodge it, you know? And I had a friend at a very wonderful denomination, just very, very, very different than ours. And I'm not going to say what it is, but they're called of God, wonderful, but just very different than the culture I grew up in. And they had invited me to speak at a youth camp. And I was like, oh, like a youth camp, you know, like 25 teens. It'll be great. And then I found out it was not like a tiny little thing. It was like the entire network of that denomination. And I was like, how many excuses can I come up with? Because I'm super busy. I have no time. I just have like, I had 1,000 reasons why to not do it go through my brain. And I started praying about it. And obviously the Lord always wants you to do things you're normally uncomfortable with and you don't really want to do. And but I was really wrestling with it. And I kind of prayed and I was just like, all right, Lord, all right, well, like I think I'm supposed to do this. And the Lord's like, speak on Holy Spirit. And I went, oh, okay, great. So, you know, I might have 10 people like, or the entire place just get up and leave, you know, because that's normally where normally what splits the room when you kind of speak on Holy Spirit and the gifts and so forth. And I was just really wrestling with it. But I finally called my friend up and I said, I'm going to do it. And I was like, oh my gosh, what have I done? And then there was a lady in our church that, after worship, they slipped me this little piece of paper. And the only thing on it was a scripture reference. It wasn't weird. It wasn't thus saith the Lord God. It was just a scripture reference. And you know what I did? I tucked it in my Bible. And then, you know, after service, I looked it up. It was the theme scripture of the entire event. The theme scripture. And I went, okay, Lord. It was, listen, I'm telling you, God will speak through. If you got nothing else but the scripture you read this morning, you got the most powerful force in the universe, the word of God. And it was what I needed to just get out of my head and just do that one thing that I didn't really want to do, but it was an opportunity. And I'll tell you, it was 700 teens. I'd never spoken to that many teens in my life. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was really wild. I'm speaking. And like, it was this, I can't even tell you, just the Lord was there. It was like electrifying. Like, you know, sometimes you do things and you just feel like you're flying. I just felt like I was flying. And I'm telling you, I probably would have been in my head doubting myself, you know, probably backpedaling on what I knew I was supposed to speak on and how I was supposed to do it had it not been from that lady in our church that just wrote out a psalm. That's it. That's all she had. She had no explanation. She even says, I don't know what this means, but I just feel like this is for you. Guys, prophetic 101. Could you guys just get in the word every day? Even if it's just a little bit right before bed and a little bit in the morning and you just pray on your drive and just play it. And like Holy Spirit will just highlight certain scriptures, certain thoughts, certain words. Guys, I'm telling you, the prophetic is just a piece of the puzzle. Does that make sense? You don't have to explain it. Let the Lord do the work. Can everyone just like, could you do that? Can I just challenge you guys? Can we just go there? Can we get all out of our head? And I'm telling you, God's going to use you in simple yet powerful ways. You know, the most simple things are the most powerful. We like to complicate it. We like to add to it. And they're so life-changing. So I'm talking about a prophetic word of encouragement today. And you'll see that gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. And it says, a prophetic word of encouragement builds up, comforts, and strengthens. You know, and I like to be built up. Raise your hand if you like to be built up. I like to be comforted. I like to be strengthened, okay? Now, here's the catch. This is what Jesus said. He said this, Acts chapter 10, verse 35. Okay, Jesus said this. Remembering the words that the Lord Jesus himself said, he says this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So I'm going to do this message. You're like, me, I want that because we want to receive it. You know the best way to activate gifts in your life is to just open up your mouth, start speaking, and let him flow through you. If you're like, well, no one ever does that for me. Well, guess what? He wants to use you for someone else. I'm telling you, I think we have a lot of, like I said, I so appreciate the testimony. Like we go through things and we're like, I'm in a hurting place. I'm in a dark place. I'm really struggling right now. I don't have my stuff together. You know, everything I'm doing is nothing is working. I need a breakthrough. You know what you need to do? You need to break out of your box and break out of your excuses, get in the word, and start a conversation with someone. And everybody's like, I'm an introvert. I go, guess what? They'll probably pay attention more. Real talk. When people that don't talk a lot talk to me, I actually really listen. Is that bad to say that? Because I know that this is outside of what they normally want to do. But I'm telling you, if you're a person of few words, you're going to move in great power. Because normally, the more I keep talking, I add more to it. You know when someone puts so much icing that you can't find the cake? You know what those people with less words do? They just serve it right up. And you're like, oh, drop the mic. Thank you. All right, so no personalities as excuses here. All right, so I want to talk about this prophetic word of encouragement. All right, so Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Listen, what is a spirit-filled life? The spirit-filled life is a daily overflow of getting filled up with him. Because let me tell you, when I'm exhausted, when I'm overscheduled, when I'm busy, 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 when I'm under pressure, do I feel like talking to anyone? No, I don't. I feel like holing up in my house and like putting on sweatpants for 3 days, not washing them and not doing anything. So what that tells me, if you're in a place like that, I need to just spend more time in his word. I need to spend more time in worship. I also need to make myself get in some godly, Christian, encouraging fellowship. Not someone that in religion says you're not good enough and you're messed up and I can't believe you're in this place like this because you do this, this, and this, and this, and this, this wrong and you need to change. No. But getting around someone that speaks life over you, that calls out the gold, that encourages you in scripture and gives you that loving kick, but it's a loving kind of thing. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the spirit-filled life. Jesus told his disciples as he departed, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, ability, efficiency, and might. And you're like, I don't feel powerful. I don't feel able. I definitely don't feel efficient. Like I'm literally just caught up with laundry. Just caught up. And you know what? I just did 2 more loads. So we're back where we started, okay? And might, that's not a feeling, guys. Holy Spirit is not a feeling. Miss Heather, you're not a feeling. You're a great hug though, man. You know what I mean? Like Holy Spirit's a person. He's a person and he moves in power and he moves in all these different ways. But it's really cool. Why do we need more of him? Why do every day? What my challenge to you is not like get all stuck on theology is just you get to a place every day where you wake up and go, good morning, Holy Spirit. Fill me up. I need you. And the next part is, who do you want me to talk to today? Or if you're not there yet, I'll tell you, a text goes a long way. You know what I do in my Bible time? I'll pray and I'll just start talking to the Lord through scripture. And I'm like, Lord, who do you want me to build up today? Who do you want me to encourage? Who do you want me to strengthen? Does anybody want me to text? And normally at the end of my quiet time with him, whatever scripture stood out to me, and maybe like, I don't know, it's just my one that I could actually remember. It might be the one scripture you looked at and read 30 times. You know, when you're like just blurring out because you didn't sleep and go, who would you like? And the first person you think of, just send it to him. It might be like that one lady with no explanation. You don't have to like, this is just, hey, you know what? In my time today, you don't have to make it weird. In my time today, this was the scripture that stood out to me. And I just felt like to send it onto you and let the Lord do the rest. All right. So why does the Holy Spirit, why do we need that filling and overflowing, that fresh? Because let's see, Ephesians 5:18 says, constantly be being continually overflowing in the Holy Spirit. Constantly be being filled with the Holy Spirit. The word filled in the original Greek means to satiate to the point of excess. That means you get so soaked in the Lord. It like when you're wet, guys, come on. This is my big analogy. When you're so just filled up with the word of God, when you're just filled up with that joy unspeakable and full of glory and you just can't, you know, what happens? People around you get wet. And he wants you to be stirring yourself up. And you know, it's so funny. A lot of you are going, I just been bad. Meh. It was very interesting. In 1 and 2 Timothy, it said to have people lay hands on you. It's my last scripture. I'm just going to do it. Why not? Here we go here. 1 Timothy 4:14 and 2 Timothy 1:6. This is the Phillips translation. Do not neglect the gift. I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, that inner fire that is in you by the means of the laying on of hands. Does that mean you have to come up for the altar call? No, but I encourage you, why not? You got nothing to lose, but meh. But you know what it also does? It's godly Christian fellowship. it is an encourager. Just get together for lunch. Just go on a walk. I'll tell you what, my neighbors and I, you know what, there was a baby boom in our neighborhood. And we all kind of look out the window because we're kind of feeling it. You know, honestly, ladies, you know when you're like feeling it. And we look and we're like, we see someone just walking with a stroller with a look on their face. And we all just kind of get out and get our strollers out. And we just walk and we're like, we're just going to walk it out. And we go, we're just figuring it out. We're going to figure it out. And then we just encourage each other. And you just want to, we just encourage each other. We just what? Come on. We just encourage each other and we start doing a little bit of life together. And normally by the second loop, that meh and that irritated ink just kind of breaks off. All right. Here we go. So why are we supposed to live the Spirit-filled life? Acts 1 verse 8. And you will be my witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. What does that mean? Holy Spirit wants to come in you and flow, overflow out of you, not just for your sake, but for other people's sake. And the catch is this, if we're not getting around people, if we're all holed up, there's no one else to get wet. The Holy Spirit comes upon us and overflows out of us. So the world around us starts changing. And you know what happens? I said this in the past, but it says that we are comforted while we bring comfort to others. That's what the scripture says. And you're like, I'm hurting. I'm angsty. I'm irritable. I'm meh. Well, you know what you need to do is get around other people and at least just share the scripture you read that day. Or at least just start encouraging. And what happens is he starts coming out of you, overflowing out of you. And the things around you start becoming not you-centered, or God-centered. When Jesus is the Lord of your life, who's the center? Well, you know that famous song? Jesus, be the center. I'm not going to sing it. I can't even find the tune. But it's just something about making him the center of your life. Most of us, like I'm telling you, our angst is just because I'm the center. And I want everyone to be sent to me. And the Holy Spirit says this, guess what? It's not about you. It's about him. All right. Why do we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because the world around us needs him in, where is he? In us. The world around us needs him and us. The world around us needs you, but it's really not you. It's him in you, flowing out of you. So I'm just going to cut to the chase, and we're going to dive right in. We're in Acts chapter 8, but I'm going to say this, and I've taught it a little bit in the last 2 weeks. How do you know that the Holy Spirit wants to flow out of you to someone else? Running into divine appointments, how do you know? Is it, I feel like it? No, I guarantee you, you're probably not going to feel like it. How do I know? I want to say this. You, number one, need to get out a little bit. Maybe you just need to walk around your neighborhood. Maybe you need to go to the grocery store. I don't know. Get out. Even if you're just mowing your lawn and do a little eye contact with your neighbor. You're like, I'm just working on eye contact. All right. The Holy Spirit, first of all, 1 John 4:17 says this. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is in this world, so are we. Who's he talking about? Jesus. As Jesus is in this world, so are we. So we are looked to Jesus as perfect theology, right? He is perfect theology. He was moving with Holy Spirit the entire time. And do you know how he moved? He moved with compassion. Like, Pastor Sherry, I'm just not feeling it. Do you have compassion for other people? And if you don't, pray a really powerful prayer. Jesus, I want to see people the way you see them. Help me to love people the way you love them. And then just get amongst people and open up your eyes and allow compassion to come out of your heart. So 1 John 4:8 says this. Everybody know this? God is love. And when you get around people and you sense a flow of compassion to someone, that is the cue, that is the dinner bell that you are to allow the Lord to flow out of you. I mean, people are like, do I need to have goosebumps? Do I need to hear an audible voice from heaven? Do I need someone to come up to me, thus saith the Lord God, you are to do this? And normally I'd be like, I'm good. I'm just going to go in the other direction because you made it weird. But if you're around people, you ever been around people and you just have compassion, you can't explain it? There's just a compassion in your heart. Maybe they went through a breakup. Maybe they're just really just struggling. Maybe it's just, you can just see that like tired, dull look in their eyes. Maybe, I don't know. There's just compassion. They're opening up and they talked about their marriage. Maybe they're definitely not talking about their marriage and you know why. And there's compassion. So when Jesus moved through the crowds of people, he said this, he was moved with compassion. And he said they were like sheep without a shepherd. I think this is Matthew 9. And they were broken and they were hurting and they were distressed and they were confused. Guys, walk through anywhere and you will see confusion. You're going to see sexual confusion. You're going to see identity confusion. You're going to see purposelessness confusion. You're just, come on. He was moved with compassion. What'd he do? He started moving. He started speaking. He just started speaking. It's very interesting. What did Jesus do? He started speaking. And then what started happening? Freedom and healing. Man, it was wild. Demons started leaving. Freedom started coming in. Healing started surging. People that couldn't walk started walking. People that couldn't see started seeing. He started moving. He started talking. And you're like, well, what am I supposed to do? Psalms 81 verse 10 says, open up your mouth. Okay, everybody just open up your mouth. It's easier for some versus others. And allow him to fill it. What does it say this? Okay, Matthew 10, 19. Don't worry, Jesus said to his disciples, don't worry about what you're to say or how you're going to say it. At the time, you will be given the words to say. My challenge to you is 1 Corinthians 14, 3, amplified. One who prophesies speaks to people for their edification, their strengthening, to promote spiritual growth. They speak words of encouragement. Raise your hand if you think God can flow through you in some words of encouragement. Okay? This is prophetic 101. Okay? And speak words of consolation. Ready for this? Amplified says, to compassionately comfort others. When you just start talking and go, Holy Spirit, that I have compassion towards them. I don't know what to say. I'm not the healer. You're the healer. What can I do? Do you have scripture hidden inside your heart? God's word doesn't return void. Okay? Maybe you're like, I don't know. Did you give some wisdom? Start speaking life. And the next step is this. Ready for this? Prophetic words is here, like seeing the hidden gold in the midst of the dirt in people's lives. You know what religion does? They focus on the dirt. They're like, oh, the fruit in their life is so dirty and rotten. You're just like a dirty, rotten scoundrel. And what you need to do is fix all the fruit in your life. You need to get your life together, sir. The Lord's coming for you. Come on, anybody around some of that preaching? And you know what God does? Man, God heals the roots. He just wants those roots in him. And he starts what? Speaking life. Woman, rise up and walk. And I'll give you a message to preach. Come on, guys. What does he normally just say? Get up and walk. Get up and carry the message of what God has done in your life. He speaks life. He doesn't speak to the dirt. He speaks to the gold in your life and calls things out that are not as though they were. Come on, what did God look at Gideon? Hey, you valiant man of courage. And he's like, I'm a coward. I am hiding in a hole trying to eat my lunch before someone steals it. And God, even in the Old Testament, called out the gold. So here's the big prayer. Holy Spirit, give me compassion towards others and help me to see them the way you see them. Help me to love them the way you love them. And Lord, help me to speak life. Let me speak the opposite of where they're currently at. And the best way to do that is through scripture spoken in faith. All right. We know the dirt. Does anybody know the dirt in your life? Some people just put it all over social media. They don't even tell you. It's all up there. Don't put your dirt on social media, okay? All right. I don't need to know the dirt. I need to know the gold. I need to know how God sees me. So how do we even start a Holy Spirit prophetic conversation? So let me give you a really basic one, and I think all of you guys can relate with this. I have a really dear friend, her and her husband, when they got married, got a beautiful little, you know, what they call the starter home. But back in the 50s, that was just the home you raised like 12 kids in. It was, you know, a tiny little home. Okay. And they quickly had 6 children. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay. If you do Sesame Street, we do a lot of Sesame Street. 6 six kids all of a sudden boomed out and that house started falling apart. I'm telling you, like there was like a back overhanging thing and it like started falling off and like the septic system and everyone's like, not the septic system. I mean, everything just started to go. And they're like, we need to get out of this house. But guess what they did? You know, when you move into a house to fix it up and then you have six kids, you don't fix up your house. You were just trying to clean vomit off of like everything and poop and colored red crayons. They didn't fix up the house. And they go, for my own sanity and mental health, I just need to get out of this house, right? So what they do, they put it up on the market. And every person that came by picked the whole thing apart and told them everything they need to change about it. And they're like, I know I need to change the plaid carpet. Like, duh. I have strawberry like wallpaper. I know it's not in style. Like, do you want the house or not? And after cleaning up, they would stay up till midnight at least every single night because what, you put all the kids away. Then you got to clean the entire house, scrub every toilet, and then you got to get everyone out of the house so that the realtor can come in, and then you go listen to people tell you everything that you already know that no one wants your house. They did this for a year. How would that affect your mental health? Real talk. Totally trapped. So they ended up, there was another round of this, and they put it on the house, off the house. They were just trying to, on the market, off the market, whatever it may be. And they're like, okay, we're going to try this again. And they're just fighting despair. What do we do? Just stay here? Like, I don't know, but it's really not healthy for us to be here, you know. So they go to, they travel all the way out to Park City Mall because goodness knows what happened to the Galleria. I pray blessings over the Galleria Mall. So they went to Park City and they got out and six little kids are running around and they're just, I don't know, they just kind of had to step away from it and they're tired, they're exhausted. And this man came up to them and he was like a grandpa kind of age. And he goes, hey, I've just been watching you with your kids. Man, he spoke to my friend, the father, and goes, you know what? You speak to your kids with so much love and grace. Like, you are such an incredible dad. I've just been watching you. And my friend, the mom, I was a teacher, and he goes, wow, like, you have so much wisdom when you talk to, the way you teach your kids, man, they hang on your every word. And you know what happens in those moments where you feel like a total failure? You just kind of take a breath. And they just opened up. And they started having a conversation with this man who probably wasn't in any rush to be anywhere. And they opened up about they're just fighting depression, fighting that like, oh my, I don't know what to do. And he started encouraging them. Guys, this is simple. This is everyday Christianity. And guess what? This is prophetic because here's what happens. He started encouraging them. And then he kind of just spoke into that area that was the problem. And he goes, what? You know what? And I don't remember exactly what was said, but he said, you know, there's a reason why it hasn't sold yet. Da-da. I don't know what he said. But what he said, it kind of brought an answer. It brought comfort. It brought strength. And they go, this is not the end. God's going to make a way. And faith stirred up. You know, God, this house is going to be a blessing for the right person. They're gonna come fix it up and take off the strawberry wallpaper and the plaid carpet and all that. And my friend called me up and her and her husband love Jesus dearly. They just don't go to a church that teaches on, you know, prophetic gifts and so forth. They love the Lord so much. And she called me up. She goes, Sherry, she told me exactly what happened. She goes, that man was sent by God. Guys, can you do this? You can do this. Life changed. By the way, they did sell their house and they got into it's just really wild and how God just moved them exactly where we're supposed to be in the right timing, the right way, so cool. All right, so how do we do this? How do we start a prophetic word of encouragement? How do we even start this conversation? Okay, Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40. So we're going to look at Philip's example. Philip and how he ministered to the Ethiopian eunuch. I love this story, okay? So in verses 5-7, Philip had just been part of this massive spiritual awakening. So we talked last week about Samaria. Remember, Samaria was a region just outside Jerusalem that was full of between the Jews and the Samaritans, it was a lot of just racial, prejudice and just angst and just the hurt. There was just hurt on both sides. And the Jews were always telling the Samaritans, you're not good enough. You know, you're not to this standard and et cetera. And there's just a lot of hurt on both sides. Remember we talked last week about how Jesus went out of his way to the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, and she became the first preacher. How'd that preach with the religious, man? That did kind of shake you up a little bit. Okay. So now God sends his apostles into Samaria, and like they accept Jesus, and signs, wonders, miracles, wild, awesome things are happening. And they receive the Holy Spirit, and all these gifts start manifesting, and it's just the place you want to be. It's also the place you want to stay. Be really easy to get comfortable in that place where everything's going my way. Maybe you're like, I'm not in the dark place, but everything's just going, but I'm busy. I'm busy doing the good stuff that God's called me to do. But you know what? That might just be one season. He's calling you into the next one, and it might be harder. All right, so ready for this? God speaks to Philip. Okay, verse 26, this is the message. It says this, later God's angel spoke to Philip at noon. Everybody say at noon. So at noon, I'm normally hungry. At noon is when I want to take a siesta. At noon, all I want to do is eat in the air conditioning. Or at this time, at noon, Philip just wanted to stay in the revival, the great awakening with signs, wonders, and miracles. And everybody's like, you know, just clapping and singing and yay, Jesus, this is awesome. And God calls him to do a hard, uncomfortable thing that you guarantee you he doesn't want to do. And he doesn't give you any details. So he says this, at noon today, I want you to walk. Did it say get on a camel? No. Did it say get in a caravan? Did it say someone's going to carry you? Nope. You are at the heat of the day. Guys, this is in the Middle East. It is hot. Uncomfortable. There isn't a Hardee's to walk through the drive-thru on the way. Anybody ever walk through a drive-thru? I've been there. I didn't have a car till after I graduated college. Let me tell you, it's fine. Okay? All right. Didn't have a car or cell phone. We were figuring it out. All right. I want you to walk over to that desert road. Wait a minute. It's noon. It's hot. I'm hungry. And you need to go to the desert. And you're walking. Okay, great. That goes from Jerusalem down to Gaza. Okay, all right. Great. Does it tell him anything else? Does he get any other details? Nothing. It's probably the last thing you want to do. All right. And by the way, I want details. I want instructions. I want to know, ready for this, why? You know, it's so funny. God will give you instructions. You're going to get done in your time in the scripture, the word, or you're just praying on your drive to work, or now you're going to start praying on your drive to work, and you just start thinking of that one coworker, and that is the last coworker that you want to stop by their desk. Oh my gosh. Number one, all they're going to keep talking and they won't stop talking. All they do is complain and then they gossip and their personality is just like, whee! Okay, you know. But after you get done praying, all you do is you keep thinking of them and you're thinking about how do I avoid their desk? You ever have that coworker where you're like, how do I get where I need to go to just totally, and we do like the Samaritan thing, you know, where we go around, what the religious people did. Remember the Good Samaritan? Went around. Okay, what did all the people do? They avoided Samaria, and Jesus went, we're just going through it because I got a divine appointment. All right, do you need to feel like it? Nope. All right, and you don't get any details. No details. And you go, that's okay, I'm going to sit here and ask God for confirmation for a day or two till I talk to my coworker. And we wonder why we're bored Christians. That nothing interesting ever happens. By the way, I would love for more people to share testimony, big or small. It was awesome. It'll encourage. It'll probably line up with the message. It'll be awesome. All right? Doesn't give any details. You know why God doesn't give you details? Because you're going to run ahead of him and mess it all up. It's really interesting when you read the scripture. I'm studying the book of Acts right now. I just keep reading it over and over and over again. He doesn't give details. He gives you one step. Do you know what a lot of the prophetic is? It's really interesting. One word, one scripture, one thought. And he wants you to steward the simplicity because simple is powerful. The gospel was meant to be simple. That's what made it so powerful. That's why they had to preach it all over the world because they didn't have Google Translate. Religion makes it all complicated. The prophetic is one step. Can you be obedient with the one step when it is uncomfortable and inconvenient? Well, how do I know it's him? I need to pray about it. I need to fast about it. Is it something that's uncomfortable and inconvenient? He probably just wants you to do it. Just start with the one step, okay? So that's what he does. He does the one step. All right, so I want to say this. We have to keep our antenna up to hear from God in the midst of our busy plans and the good stuff. You know, it's really interesting when you do a study on the sower and the seed. You know what the one Christians fall into? It's the things that choke out the word. When you read it in the Amplified, it says, the pleasures of life, it's the good things. The deceitfulness of riches. You know, the good times, oftentimes we go on vacation, we turn our antenna off. You know what the great thing is? Go on vacation. God commands you to rest. Brad and I, on our budget right now, our vacation is sometimes holding hands at the chiropractor. That's okay. You know, we went to Nixon Park. It's free. All right? Go rest, but keep your antenna up. And as you are getting refreshed, be refreshing to someone else. All right, so here's what happened. Okay, here we go. First of all, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not, whether it's convenient or not. Preach the full expression of the Holy Spirit. So what steals the word is we have so much weeds in our life. We have so much busyness and we needed to go this. Is he in this? Sometimes, honestly, we're just like so overscheduled because we're just so busy with being busy. Did you know you can be so busy even doing lots of good things and lots of God things, but there's no space to wait and listen? And you just don't have to constantly prune your life. Is he in this activity in this season? You know, he might be sending you in the baseball community. And maybe, I'll tell you, this year, we are the sent ones into the baseball community. This year, I'm telling you, our family's taking over T-ball. We're going to be there. We're going to go there with extra sandwiches and orange squares or whatever. And we're going to open our mouths and start talking and encouraging people and praying with people. We're going to do that. But am I going to be in T-ball, football, this, that, and I don't know, every projectile out there? I mean, real talk to the missionaries out here. You know what I mean? Are you going to be called to four different countries at the same time in the same year? Probably not. You're probably going to call to one of them to sow and reap and things like that. Okay, so. Slow down a little bit, guys. Really pray about pruning your life. See what it is. All right, nine keys. Yes. Okay, get out your pen. And just like last week, I want you to write them on your arm, the best tattoo ever. Because when you're going, I am an introvert, and I feel very uncomfortable right now, you're going to roll up your sleeve and look at your notes, and you can do this. All right? Nine keys to being led into divine appointments. Number one, you're going to write down, keep the antenna up. Keep the antenna up. Ask God what he wants you to do that day. What do? You wake up in the morning. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Who would you like me to call today? What would you like me to do? And sometimes he's like, I just want you to sit with me today. Step one. Okay. Next one. Be willing. Number two, be willing to put time aside to get quiet and wait and hear. The second one is sometimes just get quiet. I'm going to tell you this, as I'm talking to people, and I work with youth and young adults a lot, but even the parents and the adults, summer is supposed to be a time you chill. Summer is not. Not in American culture, not in this day and age. Summer is the time to cram as much as possible in so you can rest while you cram as much as possible. There is no resting during the summer. No, it's really funny. For youth ministry, this is my busiest time of the year. The only time I take a breath is January and February. In our culture, my dad used to say this, work hard, play hard, but you're going to have to somehow find some time to just rest with him. And it might just be on your lawnmower, and it might be while you're folding clothes, but you are going to have to learn to settle your heart. And my mom works for fun. Mom, like, you know her happy place is cooking like all the different meals for the week and then giving them to some people. I think she has soup for me. I'm so excited. Thanks, Mom. I was thinking about it, right? But you know what? She'll talk to the Lord while she's cooking. Come on. You know what? My husband will talk to the Lord while he's fixing everything that I break, right? So taking time to just settle our hearts, so important. All right. And I'll say this. Okay. Our natural resting phase is really interesting. I have someone in my family that their resting phase is not, they have a name for it. We're not going to say it. This is being recorded on microphone. Don't raise your hand if people have told you you have a resting phase. What is that resting phase called? Just don't even say it out loud. I have a family member, okay? That's their resting phase. I want you to every once in a while look in the mirror and just be like, you know what I could possibly do is not have that resting face. You know, just work on this thing called a smile. And I'm not like the cheesy, creepy one that wants to sell you something, but you might just need to ask for joy. You might need to hang out with someone that makes you laugh. Brad always makes me laugh. My worst days, my husband will say, he's the funniest man I know on the face of the planet, okay? So open yourself up. And I would say this, step away from your clique. Brad and I had so much fun. We went to two different graduation parties yesterday afternoon. We just had such a wonderful time. And you know what's interesting is like, sometimes you just need to step away. We have our clique. And sometimes you just need to like go walk. And I had two pieces of cake. Do you know why? I got to go on a walk. And that's why we have this dress on today. Okay, it's fine. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just need to take a walk around, sit on the end seat. Right? It was so funny. We at one of the graduation parties, I had like a thousand bags and I put them all on the seat beside me. And I went, you know what? I should take them off the seat beside me and just open it up. We need to sometimes open ourselves up, move around a little bit, smile, start a conversation. Okay. All right. You're like, Sherry, why are you doing this? Because we need to. Anyone? All right. Number three, third thing you're writing on your arm. Don't delay, immediately obey. Don't delay, immediately obey. So for you parents out there, what is delayed obedience? Disobedience. So this whole fleece thing is Old Testament. And I'm telling you, if you're looking for a fleece of confirmation, Satan loves to manipulate them. While you're looking for your fleece, three windows of opportunity just passed you by. Because here's the catch. When God puts someone on your heart, when you're kind of prayed, God, who do you want me to talk to today? Who do you want me to text? The first person you think of, I don't know, maybe you don't think of them, but they're just the one person you want to avoid at work. And you're like, ugh, you know, whatever it may be. Delayed obedience is disobedience. There are windows of opportunity that God places. Someone has been praying for them. Maybe their grandma has been praying for them every day, and they are the biggest jerk at work. Every time you talk to them, they put you down. Why? Because they feel bad on the inside and that's just coming out, right? And you have what you choose to have compassion. What makes them hurt everyone else around them? Because they're hurting on the inside because they've been hurt. All right. And finally, you stop just like every time you see them, but you suddenly started getting compassion in your heart. Oh, that's a really good time, right? Don't delay. Don't look for confirmation. Just go tear the bandaid off and do something, right? So verse 27, Passion Translation says this, Philip, ready? He left immediately on his assignment. Did he wait for more details? Well, God, what do you want me to talk about? Well, God, I don't know, God, are they ready yet? Like, you know, I'm going to sit down and journal about this for a week. I need to feel led. Okay, delayed obedience is disobedience, all right? What happens when your kid tells their parent, hey, yeah, your parent's like, hey, I need you to mow the lawn. I need you to mow the lawn. Yeah, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, yeah. And two weeks later, and now you get a machete and you just trying to, I can't even find my children. They're in the yard somewhere. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And what it normally makes it harder because it's easier in the strategic time. The Kairos time is a divine appointment, a very strategic, specific time that God has aligned. And do you know people's hearts? It's like that. You don't know. Maybe God gave him a dream. Maybe someone spoke a word of encouragement to that day, and you're supposed to be the third person that day that says the same message because they'll finally start listening. Maybe you're that ready. They say for inviting people to church, it's normally, I think it's 4 to 5 times people say. Sometimes people say 7 to 11. Post-pandemic, I bet it's like 15 times before they're actually going to go to church or go to your Bible study or at this point even hang out with you. Post-pandemic, people don't even want to hang out. So you might be the 15th person. Don't delay. All right, verse 27 through 30. Along the way, he encountered an Ethiopian who believed in the God of the Jews. Everything in that Old Testament, he's like, I'm down with that. I get it. And they're not even written to quote me and my people. But he sensed something was alive and real in the God of the Jews. When you read the Old Testament, it's very interesting. Even the people that didn't like the Jews, they go, you don't mess with them. Because their God shows up. You get a bunch of farmers with some sticks and spears, and you go against them, and they're like, oh, you don't mess. No, listen, you don't mess with Israel because their God's really real. This Ethiopian knew, that's the team I want to be on. You know, it was so sad. Was the Jewish nation, it was just the way they were. It was such an elitist nation that this Ethiopian wasn't even allowed in the temple. Do you know why? He was a eunuch. Now, eunuchs made a sacrifice so they can be influential in the government, in the royalty, so they could be close to the king or queen or their children. They gave up their right. They had a medical procedure done that they were not only not allowed to be married, but they could not have children. because that was just the day of age. I'm not saying it was right. I don't think it is. I think it's abusive. But that was the sacrifice that was either made for them or they made. But here's what, no matter what happened to you in life, it will not stop you from doing what God's called you to do. This man was called to be influential to a nation and a government. And he got to go places and be influential that other places couldn't, that other people couldn't. Said this, he believed in the God of the Jews, and he was the what? Treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. So other people would look down on him and say, oh, you're one of those. The Jews say you couldn't even come inside the temple to worship our God, but God had a divine appointment for this man. He had great authority for Candace, queen of Ethiopia. He was on his way home from worshiping God in Jerusalem. He went all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship a God that he wasn't even allowed to get inside the temple. They wouldn't allow him to preach. They wouldn't allow him to read the scroll. I don't know, but can you imagine the utter rejection he would have felt? And he's like, I'm not going to let society or religion, I'm just going to go as far as I possibly can. And there's a lot of people that have seen Christianity misrepresented and they've been rejected. Oh no, you can't come to our church. You got to dress a certain way. Oh no, you know, you can't do this. You can't do that. You're this gender. You're the, da, da, da. You can't do this. You can't do that. You wear too much makeup. You can't do this. You can't do that. You know, you don't talk right. Come on. You got to have your life all perfect before you share any scripture. Joyce Myers preached the gospel in shorty shorts, smoking a cigarette in the backyard Bible study. She did read her testimony. She had, you start somewhere, guys, right? Okay, it's really interesting. Now, did she change? Yes. All right, here we go. He was on his way home from worshiping the God in Jerusalem, and as he rode along in his chariot, he was reading from the scroll of Isaiah. By the way, to own a scroll of scripture was very, very expensive. So he had, guys, this is a man of affluence. This is a man that had resources. This is a man that could go places that no one else could go. And God was going to use him powerfully. And it said, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, now guess what? The only step he had right now was, when you're tired and hangry and hot, I need you to go into the middle of desert and just be available. That was his only step. And he definitely didn't feel it. Okay, and then he said this is the next step. I'm telling you, the prophetic is one step at a time of obedience. All right? What'd he do? He ran. Guys, I don't want to run in the desert. I'm hot. I'm hangry. He ran to be obedient. He was really quick because I think he had a revelation that when God speaks, I better be quick to listen because there's a divine appointment. Because this eunuch was in a chariot and he could any moment say, giddy up and go. So you better listen. There are divine appointments. There are windows of opportunity, strategic times in people's lives that you're only going to be sitting beside them that one particular time in the waiting room. And they're going and they're about to get the cancer diagnosis. And you know what? God says, I want you to start a conversation. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Share the testimony. Da, 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 da. And then they, and all of a sudden, everything just changes. Don't delay. So what's my next point? You're writing number four on your arm. Go meet people on their turf. You know what? Well, I've been inviting them and they don't want to hang out with me and I'm all offended and personal. You know what? Go where they are at. Go where they are at. And I would say this, a lot of us need to develop a hobby or a social life that gets us out of our us for no more thing. You know, pick something up that gets you around people. Join the hiking club. I don't know. Learn, do something, okay? I could give lots of examples. This is your pool membership like opportunity, guys. Or I don't know. Or once again, hey, maybe you just, I'm telling you, the mall, remember when people went out there? Just go to the park. It's free. Number five thing you are writing on your arm, find a relevant topic to start a conversation. Now, this is where you go, I'm an introvert. That's okay. That's why I had you write number five on your arm. Find a relevant topic to start a conversation. Jesus, verse number 30, it says this, as he drew closer, he overheard the man reading from the scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, and Philip asked him, sir, do you understand what you're reading? Did he make it weird? Thus saith the Lord God. Hey there, brother, sister, so-and-so. You know, come on. He didn't talk all Christianese. He didn't talk. try to talk the same way outside of the building as you do here. You got me? You'll be more effective. If you don't have any friends that aren't Christians or ready for this, all your friends only meet in the same kind of church and the same kind of culture, you're probably weird and you just don't know it. Okay? So God made it really easy for him. What? He got one step, just go be in an uncomfortable and convenient place and do something you don't want to do. Joyfully. Yes, Lord. Okay, the next one is, I want you to go talk to that person. And so I need a fleece. I need 50 confirmations. I'm just not feeling it. Can I get some goosebumps? He ran quickly, quick to obey. He didn't have any instructions after that. And ready? He just asked a non-weird question. They're wearing a Ravens shirt. Hey, did you watch the game last week? Okay. You know, hey, their kids wearing those little blinky Crocs. And just be like, remember how when we were in high school, we wouldn't be caught dead in those things? And now that's the it thing to do? You didn't make it weird. You know, you just start talking, okay? All right. Number six, you're writing on your arm. We're almost there. Transition from a natural topic to a spiritual topic. This is where you go, Holy Spirit, give me a window. Give me a word. Give me an opportunity. What do you do? Just start talking. Ready for this? If you're not good at talking, just ask questions. Ask questions. Ask about their family. Ask about their workplace. I'm telling you, if you actually are obedient to the Lord will make it so much easier than you think. Because what's God do? If you don't know what to do, give them a sincere compliment. Look for the gold in their life. I'm telling you, there was a minister that said this, that moving in the prophetic just starts with having a sincere compliment, seeing something that other people don't see. Like, wow, I just think I really like your tattoo. That's really artistic, man. What's your story? I'm telling you, you want to know what great way to minister to people? Ask them about their story. Ask them where they got that tattoo from. Ask them where they got the dink in the car. I don't know. Start talking, right? Okay. All right. Verse 31, God made it really easy. The man answered, how can I possibly make sense of this without someone explaining it to me? So he invited Philip to come up into his chariot to sit with him. Could God have made it any easier? The steps were uncomfortable. They were inconvenient. They didn't have any details. But once you're obedient, I'm telling you, God will make it a lot easier than you think. Okay, number seven, identify the real need the person has in their life. Identify the real need that they have. So last week we talked about the woman at the well. Her need, she had so much rejection in her life. She needed connection. She needed purpose. And man, did Jesus give it to her, man. First woman preacher to go into her whole city and the entire city came to know him. This is very interesting. This eunuch was confused. Guys, what's the culture right now? Confusion. Everywhere you go, confusion. Confusion politically, confusion socially, confusion sexually, confusion in just how we interpret scripture. Okay, and also on top of that, he couldn't even get into the temple. Rejection and confusion. Did we just open up an entire culture around us? I feel like everyone has constantly dealt this steaming hot pile of you're not good enough. He looked past the surface of the problem and you speak to the gold. All right, so the next thing you're writing down, number 8 on your arm, find the gold in the midst of the dirt. Speak to the answer in Jesus' name. And if anything, write down a scripture to stand on. So if they're sharing the problems in their life, God, go, well, Jesus is the answer, right? Look for, speak life into it, right? If they're like, I feel terrible, I feel depressed, I'm anxious all the time, I feel sick. And you know what, God, Jesus, just start speaking scripture into their life. Speak the answer, right? Verse 32 through 34. The portion from Isaiah he was reading was this. He was led away to the slaughter like a lamb to be offered. He was like a lamb that is silent before those who sheared him. Who's he talking about here? He never even opened his mouth. In the lowliness, justice was stripped away from him. Who could fully express his struggles? For in his life was taken from the earth. The Ethiopian asked Philip, can you please tell me who the prophet is speaking of? Is it himself or another? Oh my gosh, could God make it any easier? But the steps were hard. They were uncomfortable. They were inconvenient. Did they get all the details? Just do it. Just start with it. You're not going to get all the details. It's actually in the Bible. You're not going to get all the details, but I can't make a move until I get all the details. How, God, are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? Just Holy Spirit, good morning. Who would you like me to text this morning? Who would you like me to call this morning? Who do you want me to invite to lunch from the workplace? Holy Spirit, what neighbor do you want me to not just wave at and smile, but go walk up to him? This is number 9. Ready for this? Be ready to present the good news. Verse 35, Philip started with this passage and shared with him the wonderful message of Jesus. So I'm going to end here. Verse 36 through 40. And as they were traveling down the road, the man said, look, here's a pool of water. Why don't I get baptized right now? Could it be any easier? Guys, the steps are hard. They're uncomfortable. But I'm telling you, if you're obedient and ask God for a window, Lord, how do I share you? Ask him for a window. Start asking questions about their life. Can I pray for you? The easiest thing is, hey, you know, is anyone in your family fighting depression right now? Is anyone in your family sick? You know, like, just ask questions and pray. I don't know what to say to them. Give them scripture. It's the most powerful force on the planet. And you know, it's really wild. You'll start speaking and then God will start dropping in revelation. You'll start saying things that you never thought of before. You will speak into answers in your life, their life you never even knew. Do you ever have someone talk to you and you're like, how'd they even know that? They didn't even know that. They just kind of said something and they're like, oh, that's the one thing I was praying about. And I'll tell you, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, you know, you might start thinking like, you look at them and you go, I don't know, I just keep thinking about this one thing. And you just start talking, they're like, oh my gosh, this is God speaking. Verse 36 through 40, as they were traveling down the road, the man says, look, here's a pool of water. Why don't I get baptized now? And Philip replied, if you believe with all your heart, I'll baptize you. Did you need to clean up your life? Did you need to be perfect? Jesus wants you right where you are at, right now. In the midst of the confusion, in the midst of the rejection, he just wants you. Faith rose up in his heart. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the anointed one, the Son of God. And the Ethiopian stopped his chariot and went down into the water. And Philip baptized him. And then they came up out of the water and Philip was suddenly snatched up by the Spirit of the Lord and instantly was beamed out. Beam me up, Scotty. I don't know. He got beamed. I know, Star Wars, Star Trek, whatever, you know. I don't know. Why did God not just move him where he was supposed to go? Well, there would be no lesson in obedience. Sometimes we're just learning the simplicity of his voice. He was carried away to the next city of Ashdod, and there he reappeared, preaching the gospel in that city. The man never saw Philip again. He returned to the Ethiopia full of great joy. Philip, however, traveled on to the different towns in the region, bringing them good news. So what's the thing? Simplistic acts of obedience, doing uncomfortable things, just starting a conversation with someone, giving them scripture, encouraging them, seeing the gold in their life, speaking life over them, speaking healing and freedom over them can be very far-reaching. Did you know that the country of Ethiopia to this day is a primarily Christian nation? And many scholars say this. You talk to the people of Ethiopia, many of them attribute the fact that they are Christian to this day to the Ethiopian eunuch, that one guy on the road that they wouldn't even let in the building. That one, you have no instructions. You went to Burger King by yourself because everybody wants a Whopper. See you there. Okay. There was someone sitting by themselves and they were just staring at this book. Maybe it was the Bible. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe they're just staring at their phone and they just have that confused look. And you go, hey, how's your day? You know, just start. And all of a sudden they give their life to Jesus and they go to their workplace and they ended up being an influential person in their job. And next thing you know, they start a Bible study at work and then the blessing of the Lord comes on that business and that business grows and excels and they start another bigger business. And next thing you know, York County economy is thriving. To be God be all the glory. No matter how busy we are, take the time to put your antenna up. Holy Spirit, I don't think we need to rush as much as we do. I'm 15 minutes late for everything. I'm working on it. Everything, okay? I'm working on it. All right, so I'm going to give you some instruction, really simple. You guys can stand up. I'm going to give you another quick plug on how to start a conversation. I met my friend at a restaurant I'd never been to, and she was running late. Guess what? Instead of being grumbly because the person's running late, look around, start praying. And there was a waitress with a big beaming smile, and she kept like helping me, and you know, but there was something about her. She seemed so familiar. You ever get around someone? Compassion, ready for that? They seem so familiar. It's God highlighting them. It's God highlighting. They seem so familiar. You can't shake it. What? They just look like somebody. It is the Holy Spirit having you start a conversation with them. I'm telling you. So I went up to her. I was like, hey, do you have a relative named Aaron or Chloe? Because this seemed like they came from this family. They go, I do have a relative named Aaron and Chloe. And I said the last name. And they're like, no, not my family tree. But they had that relative. I was like, you know what? That's kind of wild. A lot of people, this is the prophetic, guys. So what I do, I kept that conversation. My friend came and I'm listening to my friend and I just kept praying. I was like, you know what, God, you know, what can I do to encourage her? And I heard like a couple words and it was like, seek, find, Jesus loves you. I was like, that sounds so generic. It doesn't sound weird though. So they came over and I just said, you know, I just feel like in my heart, what you're seeking for, you're going to find. And just Jesus loves you so much. And then this other couple sentences came out. Wasn't in the plan. Didn't get the next step. And I just said, I feel like that the career that you really want to go into, that people are pushing you in a different direction. But God is going to give you peace and you're going to go into it. And I don't remember the rest of everything I said. It was just three sentences. And I stopped. And her face lit up like she, thank you so much. What's gonna happen? Is she gonna become a nurse and help save tons of lives? I don't know. Is she gonna become a counselor? Is she gonna go into the school? I don't know. But God just what? Spoke into a situation. I didn't have all the details. Did I need them? No. Was I obedient? Can you do that for your waitress? By the way, leave them a big tip when you're done. Okay, Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you. Lord, help us to be quick to obey. Lord, help us to get filled up on the word and your scripture. Help us to connect with people. I just release courage over this congregation, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the introverts because wow, when they talk, people really listen. And I just thank you, Lord, for divine appointments. And we're gonna go run out to meet people. We're gonna keep the switch of faith on and the antenna up. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If you guys would like any prayer, if you'd like to just move in these gifts more, I'd love to pray with you. Any grow group leaders can come on up here. We'd love to pray for you guys in any capacity. Invite someone to lunch. Go meet your waitress. Give them a good tip.